Hey, welcome to episode 30 of Thomas and the Quran, aka Bible. Chapter 26 of So today's episode is probably going to be really short, although this isn't me from the future or anything, so I don't know that it was short, but I think it's going to be pretty short, because the way the pages ended up, we're finishing Leviticus, and page-wise, I should be doing, like, half of the next chapter of Numbers, the TV series, because I'm sick of the Bible, so I'm actually just going to read from the script of Numbers, the TV show. No, I should be reading half of the first chapter, but I was like, screw it. So I figured we'd just end short here and then make a fresh start on Numbers and then get caught up or whatever. So only two chapters. So let's get into it. Ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. And, you know, if I were reading this for the first time with no bias or previous knowledge, I'd be pretty sure this means we can't make any image, like not even of him. It doesn't say, like, make no idols other than me or make, you know. I think it actually, I mean, it sounds to me like it would be a violation to even make a touchdown Jesus or, you know, something like that and bow down to it. It says no idols. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, because we are his Sabbath's keeper, and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes, walk a mile in my statutes, and keep my commandments and do them. Again, he hasn't made a commandment against terrible, just awful puns. And I'm just going to keep doing it. I don't know why I find it funny. It's probably the least funny thing in the world. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of her field of the field shall yield their fruit. And there's that mic cable again. There we go. And your mic cables shall go fuzzy if you... No. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase an hundred, and an hundred of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. That's some amazing math, I gotta say. Because, like, first off, it's five shall chase an hundred. That's silly enough. I mean, 20 to 1? Could you imagine 20 people with swords surrounding one guy? Like... Or, you know, 100 people with swords surrounding 5 guys, I guess if they were grouped together. Like, they form a circle around them. Like, how long would that last? They have no chance. I mean, well, maybe if it was, like, an indoor battle and there's a really big chandelier, you know, like, that's their only... And then somehow they can run up the stairs. Like, they just... The bad guys just, like, let them run up the stairs for some reason. And then they cut the chandelier rope and it's just a massive... Like, football field-sized chandelier just comes down the hall. Maybe then. But then it gets even more ridiculous. 100 take on 10,000? So now you're talking 100 to 1. So I guess you're just gaining efficiency as you the more people you have. Because first it was 20 to 1, now it's 100 to 1. So, like, if you had, like, a machine gun and the people you're fighting had, like, pointy sticks, they could still take you out easily 100 to 1. I mean, how many... You just can't kill fast enough for that to work. How are we supposed to believe that? I don't understand. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I shall, and I set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. It's rare for God to leave us hanging like this, because that was the whole verse. Like, verse 14 was, if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments. End of verse. Man, really, you just want to find out what's next. And if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, still building up to it, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning... Oh, shoot, I should have looked up how to say this. A-G-U-E. Egg or ague? Ague? Whatever. That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. That's one tough ague. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I hope that in that case the seed was not metaphorical and was actually real, literal seed in that case. Otherwise, so yeah, at this point Moses is probably like, so if I do what you want, if we do what you want, we'll have all these benefits and be able to take on 100 men at once, but not in a gay way, and I'll have all the food I want and all that. But if I don't do what you want, I'll have terror and consumption, and I'll go blind, and I won't be able to have children or crops, depending on how you meant that. And that's the deal. Let me think. Gonna need a few days. Yeah, I think I'll go ahead and just do what you say, God. I think I confidently have made my decision. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. Moses is probably like, God, I just... And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. God, I said yes, we're cool. I totally plan to go through. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Yeah, I get it. I understand. It's going to be really bad. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land bear their fruits. And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. That's really not necessary. I mean, if we only got the benefits, I'd say we'd still want to do what you ask, much less all these things. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me into these things, but will walk contrary unto me. You're joking at this point, right? God, are you still? Then I will also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hands of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, and then the 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall not eat and not be satisfied. Now you're just getting confusing, God. I'm honestly not sure what that last part even meant. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me. God, I already said, I told you. Then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. God, did you write any of this down before you decided to go on this rant? Because now it's getting kind of circular. I swear you've already said that same thing several hundred times. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast down your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which will dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen. I will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. You know, God, for a while you were having an effect on me, I gotta say. But now going on, what is it, hour two of all these punishments you're going to rain down on us? I'm sort of becoming desensitized to it. I honestly, now I can't even take you seriously. The whole thing seems ridiculous to me. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, and as long as it lieth desolate and ye be in your enemy's land. God, I feel like you're not even really hearing me right now, to be honest with you. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt on it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I send a faintness unto their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Oh, okay, yeah, y'all done with that? Then ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Nope, guess you're not, and you're still going. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. And if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, and then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left to them, and shall enjoy their Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because they are despised of my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Moses was like, oh, holy crap. Holy, oh my, you. Wow, thank you for being done. Oh, finally. Honestly, God, I gotta say, I've lost a little bit of respect for you after all that. That was a good half hour of you just yelling at me for if we didn't do what you said, and I told you right after the first two sentences that, like, yeah, okay, we're good. We'll do what you say, and then, oh, God, count that out. 30 some odd verses of just detailing out how bad it's going to be if we don't do what you say. And it's like, I got to say, I'm a little hurt by the fact that for doing good, you had about one verse. Like, if you do what I say, then you'll be fed and some stuff will be cool and, you know, you'll be able to fight people. I was like, yeah, it was like three verses or so. And then it's like, but if you don't listen to me, oh boy. You know, it just seems like, I don't know. negative reinforcement rather than positive reinforcement. We'll just say that. Well, that was a ridiculous chapter, I gotta say. Just God going on forever like that really makes me laugh. Like, he just kept going. Like, how much did you need, you know, like, honestly, I would have been convinced right at the get. First of all, you're talking to God. If you're actually talking to God, you don't even need any of that. It's God. The whole reason people don't do what God says is because God doesn't exist. You know, if he really existed and was talking, we'd be nuts to not do what he said. We'd literally know that he was watching us at all times. It would be a completely different world. It really would be. So the idea that he has to, like, enumerate all these things he's going to do for hours, that's just ridiculous. Well, let's go on to chapter 27. This chapter is quite a bit less exciting than the last one. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on nothing else. No. When a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. And thy estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old, even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary. So I don't know what this means, to be honest with you. I read the notes and it's still not very clear. I guess God is talking about if you pledge your life or your children or something, then I think you get a certain amount of shekels, like trading in slave labor. Honestly, the notes were not even very helpful on this. And if it be female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels. Well, of course, females are not. We know that females are not as valuable as males. So, I mean, and if it be from 5 years old, even unto 20 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. So, I guess he's rating them by how much they're worth, work-wise. Ugh, this Bible always makes me yawn. Every time. I could be absolutely 100% awake, ready to go, and I just, right when I start reading this crap, I'm just like, body shuts down. It's like, no, cannot take it. And if it be from a month old, even unto 5 years old, then thy estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver, and for the female, thy estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. So I guess, so if I'm right about what this is, really this is just investment advice at this point, because if you have a kid, it's pretty much telling you wait till 20 years old to just give them away. If you can, that would be the maximum return on that. But if not, at the least wait till they're 6 years old and then you get 10 shekels. Because if you just sell them right when they're a baby, then you know, five measly shekels. That's hardly, I wonder how much it costs to have a baby. Probably costs at least 4 shekels. You're not making much on that. I'm just making all that up. But I don't know. So how bad of a parent would you have to be to not be able to hang on to a kid like, for the extra couple months or years, maybe, to make, you know, twice the money? Like, if you're so bad, the kid's like 4 years old and you're just like, oh my God, I gotta give him away. I can't, I just can't handle this kid anymore. I really can't. And then, you know, your wife's like, no, all we have to do is wait like 2 years and then he'll be worth much more. And then you're like, no, I swear I'll strangle him and then we'll get nothing for him. Do you want your 5 shekels or not? And if it be from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then thy estimation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female, 10 shekels. Now, that's an example. Now, you don't want to hang on to your investment too long. Because if you do, then you're diminishing returns and, in fact, negative returns. Just so you know. So when you're investing in children, keep those things in mind. There's an optimum age range, you know. You want to sell them right when they get to 20, because they're worth the same from 20 to 30. So you don't want to pay to support them from 20 to 30. Although I don't know how it worked back then, but you know, you don't want to do that. So right when they're 20, sell them maximum value. So anyway, but if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him. According to his ability, that vowed shall the priest value him. But he, hold on. Oh, jeez. I'll be honest with you. This is the most confusing thing I think I've come across in the Bible yet. And that is really saying something, because there's been a lot of crap. But at first, it really sounded like they'd pay you if you gave your child to somebody. But now it sounds like if he be poorer than thy estimation. Now it sounds like you're paying them to take your child or something. I don't understand that. In which case, that just reverse everything I just said. You'd want to get rid of that child immediately, obviously, if you're, you know, if you're paying. And then the other side of that is if you're 59, you know, wait till you turn 60 so that you don't have to pay as much. So, you know, still applies, just in reverse. And if it be a beast whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord, all that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy. He shall not alter it nor change it, a good for a bad or a bad for a good. And if he shall not at all change beast for beast, then it and the exchange therefore shall be holy. I don't know. And if it be any unclean beast of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, then he shall present the beast before the priest, and the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad. As thou valuest it, who art the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation? I don't know. This is like tax law again. I don't understand. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall estimate it, so it shall stand. So, and when a man... Okay, so that's saying, and when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord. So, basically, you have to get an appraisal from the priest. He comes out with a little clipboard. He's like, so you're thinking of sanctifying this house to be holy unto the Lord, huh? Yeah. That's what we're thinking of. We're gonna do that and then take out a second mortgage on sanctity. And then maybe, because we just need some cash flow right now. Priest's like, okay. And, you know, I'm thinking 300,000 shekels tops for this one. 1 acre parcel, not very much. Half acre parcel, not very much doing on this house here. So, you know, it's okay. It's good. It's, you know, that's what the market will allow nowadays. No, I don't know. I wonder if there was ever a biblical housing crisis like we have now, and then all the houses, people were trying to sanctify them, and they're just not, they couldn't sanctify them for nothing. You know, they couldn't sanctify them for free. Oh, wait a minute. If you're paying, to sanctify it, then it's the opposite, I guess. I don't know. So then there was a housing bubble, and, you know, even a crappy little shanty was worth 9 billion shekels. So no one could sanctify it. There's no possible way. I don't know. I honestly, someone look this up for me. I don't understand it. It makes no sense. It doesn't make sense, this. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation into it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. An omer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. Is that all they grew, is barley? So that's it? Like, what if it was, I don't know, corn? And it's like, nope, no idea. Don't have a conversion chart for that one. Only deal in barley, sorry. If he sanctify his field from the year of the Jubile, according to thy estimation, it shall stand. But if he sanctify his field after the Jubile, then the priest shall reckon unto him the money according to the years that remain, even unto the year of the Jubile. And it shall be abated from thy estimation. This is getting a little ridiculous, I gotta say, with how, you know, I grew up not understanding or being around Jewish people or any sort of opinion on Jewish people or anything. So, like, when I grew up and started hearing things about anti-Semitism, I just didn't understand it. I didn't know who Jews were. It's like if you said there's racism against a blue people, and you're like, I don't know what that means. Who are they? I don't know. I mean, of course, obviously learned about the Holocaust and everything, but I really didn't know anything about Jewish stereotypes or what Jews, you know, like how people were identifying them to even persecute against them. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand me. And then I grew up and, you know, watching different things and being around, meeting new people, and you sort of understand there's definitely a, you know, this sounds so stupid. There's obviously a Jewish culture, and growing up where I did, I was never exposed to it. So it was a little new to me, is all I'm saying. But now I'm starting, after reading their book, you know, that has all this tax law in it, which is supposed to be a holy book. Maybe I kind of understand where at least the images come from and the stereotypes come from. Not to say, you know, whether they're true or not, I don't know. But now I sort of understand, you know, if it's written in their book, all this stuff about how when you give something unto the Lord, the priest comes and, you know, does an appraisal on it, figures out how much it's worth, and then does all this stuff. And then if you buy it back, so this is the part I don't get too, because you sell them your, no. It sounds like, I read it, I even read like the plain English version of this Bible, and it still made no sense. It sounds like you buy it, you pay money to sanctify it, and then you can buy it back. like, hey, I need my house back from the Lord. I know he's been living there, but I need it back. And then you buy it again with 20% interest. And so it's like, it's like you're paying double. It's just the weirdest thing. I don't understand that. I don't understand how. Seriously, if someone wants to email me or comment on the website thomasandthebible.com, what the hell this means? I'd be grateful. For once, I'm pretty stumped on this. I really have no idea. And if he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another man, it shall not be redeemed anymore. But the field, when it goeth out in jubile, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priest's. And if a man sanctify unto the Lord a field which he hath bought, which is not of the fields of his possession, then the priest shall reckon unto him the worth of thy estimation even unto the year of the jubile, and he shall give thine estimation in that day as a holy thing unto the Lord. I don't know. I don't know. In the year of the jubile, the field shall return unto him whom it was bought, of whom it was bought, even to him to whom the possession of the land did belong. And all thy estimation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs shall be the shekel. Only the firstling of the beasts, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, is the Lord's. This is getting terribly boring. I hope it's going to be like the last time where the end of the book was just boring as all hell. And then the beginning of the next one was very good. That's how Leviticus and Exodus started out. Now, of course, they petered out a little bit, but we'll see. This is getting horrible. I'm going to try to get through it. Almost done. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, of both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed, every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but surely shall be put to death. I wish I knew what any of this meant, because maybe it's funny, but I don't. I'm sorry. This is me failing. It's the Bible failing, to be honest. This is just so uninteresting. Couldn't God have foreseen that this would be absolutely not applicable to anything, that no one would care anymore about, you know, sanctifying their cattle and buying them back from the Lord and all that. Like, did no one... I mean, God could have known, you know. He could have had them write it on something a little less permanent than the Holy Book. Could have been like a newsletter, you know. Like, this will apply for a few hundred years. I don't know. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. It really does sound like he gives it to them, pays money, and then redeems it and then pays money. I don't, again, somebody help me out here. I don't understand it. I even Googled it. I don't get it. It's so weird. Maybe I do get it, but it just seems so stupid that my brain's rejecting it. Like, no, that can't be true. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it, and if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Oh, thank God I'm done with that. Sorry about that. That book was, or that that last chapter was garbage. It was just crappy garbage. And that, you know, what are you going to do? So, yeah, what was I going to say? So, I have a few listeners now. I've noticed I have a few subscribers. Not too terribly many, but a few. And I'm wondering if, well, the fact is I just have no time to really, like, this is my schedule's really tight nowadays, and I barely have time to do this, but I love to do it. So, but I'm wondering if anyone has any ideas for increasing listenership, if you enjoy the show. If not, you know, screw you. I don't, just delete it right now. I just, you know, don't care. I don't care. Whatever. You wouldn't be listening now if you didn't like it. There's no way you'd get this far, especially in this boring book. But anyway, yeah, if anybody has any ideas for promoting it or feels like linking it or anything like that, I really appreciate it. And as always, if you could write a review and rate it on iTunes, I'd really love that too. I know that not all my listeners have, because I get the numbers, you know. No, whatever. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. And it was a short one, but it will be starting Numbers, the TV show, next week. So see you then.